Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
...love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
Then most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Welcome once again to episode 194 of Talking Golf Getaways. Think about that for a second. 194 episodes talking about golf, great golf destinations, special friends, the game. Pretty unbelievable how lucky we are. And we're lucky today because today, I always say this, special show, but it really is because it's going to involve talking about, reminiscing, looking to the future, all of it as it relates to one of our favorite golf destinations on the planet. That would be Gamble Sands in the glorious state of Washington. First, as always, I'm Mitch Lawrence here in Myrtle Beach, Darren Bunch out there in California, Chris McEwen in Sweet Home Chicago, and we are also lucky to be joined by our good friend and golf traveling partner occasionally, Joe Sass in Dallas, who has a most interesting perspective on a golf getaway to Gamble Sands. You're going to want to hear that. You can find Darren at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram, Chris at Chris McEwen. McEwen, similarly, and me at Mitch Lawrence, Laurance on Twitter, and at Mitch underscore Lawrence 1 on Instagram. And given that it's episode 194, I'm hoping that if you're listening, you already know that info, but we like to give it out. Hi, guys. How's everybody doing?
Yo.
Oh, hey.
Did you count all 194?
Did I what?
Did you count all 194 episodes? I didn't even know we'd done that many.
Yes, we did. And if anybody wants to find it, one of the ways they can is to go to Audible. And it's really easy because they literally start with episode 193, which was a few weeks ago with our great friend Aizwaya Mswege out in Uganda that we did at the end of 2024. And then they just list them straight down. So you can find all the episodes. Yeah, it's pretty good. You should know that, Darren.
You know what's frightening is that we've had, this is what, the fourth time we've had Joe Sass on, and nobody knows who he is. He's got to be the most obscure person we've ever had on the podcast, and we've had him on four times now.
You mean he can walk unabated through airports?
That's right. No one knows.
He can. Nobody knows that he's the man pulling the strings on their planes. Yeah.
You should get to know Joe, people. That's for sure.
That's
Joe,
right.
Before I move on, since I gave everybody else's info, is there any way that you would like people to get in touch with you if they have questions? Or do you want to remain in witness protection as Darren suggests?
I like my little anonymity over here. It's pretty cool, I think. It's good.
I'll put his phone numbers in the description. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, good. And make sure you call Joe between 1 and 5 a.m. That's what we're giving you.
He's probably awake.
Yeah, I would think. I mentioned that we're going to be talking about Gamble Sands today, and we have not only do we have insights from a few of us who have actually been there and played it gloriously, but Darren, obviously, you have a special connection right now, and we'll be talking about a lot of that info. I'm just going to start off by saying, before you kind of fill us in about what the conversation is going to be like, that the way you know how much I love Gamble Sands, having been there only one time, so I have not experienced the Scarecrow or the 10-hole quicksand course, I have in my office right now, and I'm staring at it, wrapped in a small white hand towel, a divot of fescue that I took home from Gamble Sands when we played. I look at it every day. That's how connected I am to Gamble Sands. So the rest of you take a walk.
That's beautiful. I need to have them send you a bill for that.
No, that's already grown in. It's been a few years. They don't owe me nothing.
It's going to be a fun conversation because I wanted to get you guys all on here for different perspectives. First, we'll get it out of the way. Chris's perspective is that he just keeps being invited and then can't come because he's got a, you know, something better to do somewhere in the world. Like the time his wife took him to Hawaii in secret when he was supposed to come to Gamble Sands with us. But we're working to get Chris there. It's very possible Chris may make it to Gamble Sands sometime this summer. I was trying to get him to come on this trip in September that we're going to talk about. But that's what, right around your big epic trip that you have with all your buddies, Chris, yeah, that we never get invited to?
That's right. Yeah, it's the big Michigan trip, and it'd be tough to do back-to-back trips.
Yeah, I understand, I guess.
I'm just not as easy as Joe. I like to put up a little bit of a, you know, play a little hard to get.
That's true. Well, Joe and Mitch, they're both retired, so they can get up and go anywhere, anytime, basically.
Right, right.
So where are you going in the big trip? Just, you know, this has nothing to do with Gamble Sands, but where's the Michigan trip taking you this year?
We go to the same place every year called Island Hills. They have three townhouses on the course, on the property that we fill. So we take over. It's like,
nice.
It's, I think it's something like six bedrooms, a townhouse, two beds to each room. Oh. And yeah, we just pack it. And then it's our golf course for about 4 days.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
It's pretty great.
Thing to be invited to.
God, Darren, when you beg, there is nothing more pathetic.
Well, I can't go this year because I'm going to Gamble Sands and I wouldn't want to do it back to back.
Right.
The point to be made. Mitchell, we're going to start with you. And like you said already, full disclosure, I now work for Gamble Sands. I am part of a partnership with Match Play Media, which my friend Robert Thompson, who is based in Toronto, his company, which seems to work with everybody in the industry. They work with the Dream Golf properties. They work with the Cabot properties. They're working with multiple properties overseas. He and I kind of got together to partner on helping Gamble Sands as they kind of take the next level, next step to, I guess, level up to just become a destination that you can match almost anything in the country. Scarecrow is opening. You made reference to that. It will open on August 1st. There will be a lot of preview play. So I think most people will see an awful lot of Gamble Sands this summer through all their favorite golf outlets and social medias and influencers and photographers. And starting with the fact that Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire.
Drink.
And I will be there the end of April, getting an early look at what Scarecrow looks like this year. I also got to play it twice back in October. I can't remember if we had a whole podcast and talked about that or not, but it's all running together for me now. But I've been on a sprint in terms of helping there, and still, of course, working with Tobacco Road, as everybody knows. And helping our friends Brian and his brother Darren and those guys with the Golf Package Pros properties in St. George and Las Vegas, Mesquite and Scottsdale, Arizona. So I've been fairly busy, but a lot of time being taken up because Gamble Sands is just full speed ahead. And we're really excited about what's been built there. And so I wanted to start with you. Not to talk about Scarecrow, but really to just talk about, I know you were taken with not just the golf course, but the entire resort when you made your trip. I wanted to get some thoughts from you on what were the things that really stood out for you on that initial visit that make you think about it all the time? And of course, you know, so much so that, like you said, you've started planting turf in your office, you know, from Gamble Sands. So, you know, give us a few highlights of what really attracted you to it once you got there.
Well, I think interestingly, a key phrase you just used is once you got there. And you and I have talked a lot about this over the years and over the podcasts. And that is the idea that Gamble Sands, like a number of other destinations, is not easy to get to.
True.
So there had been a lot of lead up before that first trip to Gamble. For me, different than for you, Darren, or if Chris ever gets there from Chicago or Joe from Dallas, I'm coming from Myrtle Beach. It's a long day to get there. There's multiple flights. I flew into Spokane. The expectation is the key word, and that's what you and I have talked about, which is, and I think for me, Bandon was the first place where I actually experienced that kind of, I call it the joy of expectation, where you have to make a major commitment to get to someplace, even without having experienced it before, like at Gamble. I did feel that before. I felt it leading up to it when I put my clubs outside on my front porch with ship sticks and sent them out a week before. I mean, the whole process did nothing but make me be in a place where I couldn't wait to get there. And then I flew into Spokane, and it's a couple-hour drive from there, and I got to meet, this is another part of these trips, where you get to spend time with people, some of which you know and some of which you don't. And at the airport, I got to meet up with Ben Green, who's become a great friend to all of us. I'd never met him before, and he was going to ride with me from Spokane out to Gamble, and this was my first meeting with Ben, and I went up to the rental car place, and Ben was waiting for me there. And I said to talk to the person, and I have rented this kind of car and whatever. And Ben said, what kind of car you get? And I said, I don't know, some kind of standard, you know, model. And the woman behind the counter said, ooh, we have a great deal on a Dodge Charger. and I kind of looked at, I mean, I like cars. I like driving different cars, but I looked at her and I think it was like $50 more a day or something. And I was about to go, no, I'm fine. And I looked at Ben and Ben went, take the Charger. And he did it in a way that wasn't like you, you know, any of us saying, take the Charger, it'll be fun. This was a serious request by Ben. And it turns out that he was a complete car gearhead. I mean, full blown.
He was in the car business for a while.
Yeah, his whole life.
Yeah.
But he said to me, trust me on this one, take the Dodge Charger, which I did and which I loved. And we had this unbelievable 2 hours together getting to know each other. And by the time we got to Gamble, and it's one of those, like a number of other destinations, the road up to Gamble, to the resort, you're driving in the middle of Washington. Beautiful scenery and out in the middle of nowhere. And then you get to this one part where you have to take a left to get into Gamble, and you're going up this road and you cannot really imagine what you're about to see. And that's the other part of this, Darren, which is for people who haven't been there, to me, the excitement of getting there and seeing the reveal of what Gamble Sands is on a large, and when I say large, it's capital L, scale, is that once you go to where these unbelievable rooms are, and these are the ones that I saw when I was there, so whatever's been added to this only adds to it, but every room has a view facing out over the putting course that's right there, and then down to the first couple holes of the golf course and the river. And the view is literally takes your breath away. There's no other way to put it. And so that part of it kind of delivered on the expectations of just being there. It's one of those places where as soon as you get there, the first thing you think of, it was worth it. no matter what it takes to get there, you think it was worth it. So that was the biggest thing. The course, I mean, I could go on. We've done multiple podcasts about what you and I got to experience on that trip, which was being with a great bunch of people that were there, meeting them, and then getting to meet David McClay Kidd. And not only meet him, but he did an unbelievable talk at dinner that night. And then getting to play the course with him was, you know, that kind of experience. And not everybody is going to have that, obviously. But it certainly, as far as my trip, added, you know, it wasn't just David and I wearing kilts. That was fun. but literally.
That's always good.
Yeah, getting to kind of just walk that golf course with him and really understand. And I'll just
I want to jump back real quick yeah. before you, because you talked about something. You talked about the reveal, mm-hmm. and it's funny. We're redesigning the website at Gamble Sands. It's going to roll out here in the next few weeks. And one of the things Robert Thompson on this project said. He said, we want the website to capture the grandeur. Like, we want the website to be as big and bold as the golf course and the property itself. And I thought that was an interesting way to look at it, that he's a guy who hasn't been there yet, but he's just seen the pictures and the videos. He's heard people talk, and, you know, he understands the scope of what we're talking about. And I think it's interesting that in your situation, when you come over that hill, you know, you take this long road up from the road below, you get to the apple boxes, which anybody who's been there knows what I'm talking about, and you make a right, and then you drive in. Well, you come over a rise, and then when you came, that rise, there wasn't anything like to the left or the right. Quicksands was just in its infancy. Scarecrow to the right, there was nothing. Right. And so it wasn't until you got up to the actual inn, and then, like you said, overlooking, you know, the rooms overlooking the putting course and the Columbia River Gorge, or if you get up to the clubhouse and you start to see the opening hole and the closing hole. But like when Joe was there, you know, years later, this past summer, and Joe's been there before when you were there, but also now this past summer when we brought his guys, when you come over that rise, all of a sudden now, pow, you get hit with golf. That's all you see all of a sudden. And so it makes that moment even more spectacular, because Scarecrow is just laid out as far as you can see on the right-hand side of the road. And to the left-hand side, you can see all the cool holes from the Quicksands 14-hole short course. So it's interesting to me, as you were talking about it, how it's evolved, because I know Joe, and I mean, you can speak to this, Joe, welcome to the podcast, but you know, when you guys came over that ridge and all of a sudden you knew you weren't going to be able to play that golf to the right at the time, but you know, you see golf. And I think there's a reveal there that is just very striking now. And we'll continue to grow as even more things get built and everything.
Well, good luck. You know, that's it's a nice thing to say, to try to make the website equal the view, but you just can't do it. It's just amazing. You know, any picture you look at, and you know, the guys I even took, I said, look at these pictures. And you get up there and it's just like 10 times better than you can see on a picture. It's just unbelievable, the view. And like Mitch is saying, just the excitement to get there. Well, I had been with Darren in 2016, and when we went up there, it was just Gamble, and the lodging wasn't even finished. It was about halfway done. So when I came up last August, you know, we pull up there and I'm like, oh my gosh, the lodging looks fantastic. And you know, the putting green's in there now. That wasn't there before. And the most exciting thing I was excited about was I had my son, who's 20, in the room, and my nephew, who's 27. And I couldn't – we drove up, what, Tuesday night, Darren? We played Chambers in the morning. We drove up Tuesday night. So it was pitch dark when we got in and checked in. So I couldn't even sleep that night, because I couldn't wait to fire open those drapes in the morning for those guys to look out and see the putting green and the river and the mountains out there. it was like stupid. I was like a little kid on Christmas. Like I couldn't wait to show them that, you know. And we woke up and I fired them open. They just stood there and looked for a minute, going, "Oh my goodness gracious!" You know, it's just it's something to behold. It really is cool.
And now from what we call the Riverview Rooms now down there that you guys are all familiar with, and I'd forgotten, Joe, that you mentioned that when we were there originally, they were building the rooms. There was no lodging on property. The putting green, Cascade putting course wasn't there. None of that stuff was there. But now, you know, you open up, you go out onto the Cascade putting course. You can see the point on hole 11 on Scarecrow across the way, which people have always looked out at and thought, oh, wow, that would be a great place for a golf hole. Well, that's exactly what David McClay Kidd always thought, too. And when it came time to actually build Scarecrow, you know, that's almost where they started. How do we get out to that point and back? Because that's where a golf hole needs to lie. So you can see all of that now. And so it really is, you're, like you said, a kid in a candy store, basically, a Christmas morning, just especially when you're coming at night and you can't really see anything. But if you're coming in the morning, like I did on my last trip, you know, you just come over that ridge and it's just like, wow, there's so much here. And you just can't wait to play golf holes because that's obviously why we're all there. So, Mitch, go back to, you were headed somewhere in terms of talking about, David McClay Kidd, the golf course itself, because I know you have very, you know, strong feelings about just the fun factor and also the, kind of the feeling of serenity out there, because you do really get away from everything when you're playing some of those holes on the Gamble Sands course. By the way, Gamble Sands, I'm going to throw this out there for people because there's been a lot of discussion about it. The first course will always be referred to as the Gamble Sands course, not the Sands course. And Scarecrow obviously would be Scarecrow. There's been some confusion of that over the years. And so I'm on a campaign to make sure people refer to it as Gamble Sands, and then if they're referring to a resort, we call it the Gamble Sands Resort now, or the Inn at Gamble Sands, which are for those rooms. So anyway, Mitch, go ahead. Well,
thank you for the educational tip.
You're welcome. The
thing that hit me also, and you and I have been lucky to go to some unbelievably great places, obviously, with spectacular golf courses. But Gamble Sands was really kind of iconic in a different way to me because I had been to, as I said, to Bandon and Bandon Dunes. I've played, you know, the courses there. And though I love Bandon Dunes, the original course will always be my favorite, always. And it's just a personal opinion. Most of it, well, not most of it, but a lot of it because of what it signified in terms of golf travel and golf destinations. So when David did that course, it is what it is. It's just stunning and mind-blowing and it was so different than anything that really I had experienced. It's not, how can I put it? It's not as player friendly as David's courses now would become.
Right.
And I think what Gamble Sands proved to me, and especially having David there when I was there, talk about the philosophy and his own journey of designing golf courses, because he really went through a full circle time after Bandon, which we've gone into here before, but he kind of got away from some really basic things that he discovered again and have become a part of what I'm sure is great about Scarecrow. I haven't played Quicksand, but all of it I experienced for the first time with Gamble Sands, which is this design philosophy of letting you play to get more enjoyment out of the game as opposed to just a challenge of hitting difficult golf shots. The land is what it is. It's spectacular. No matter what kind of course is there, it's spectacular. But what David did at Gamble Sands is he gives you the opportunity, no matter what your skill level is, if you're a 2 handicap, it's got plenty of challenge for you to go out and try to shoot a score. most golfers are in twos. And what he realized and what he executed and what really kind of blew me away about the Gamble Sands course was this feeling of being helped by David along the way for 18 holes. It doesn't mean you don't miss shots. It doesn't mean there aren't bunkers that might be deep. But he really, I was in awe of the way he was able to navigate that landscape and make it more of that kind of golf where everybody can really enjoy it for different reasons than I think I had ever played before. I literally don't think I'd ever been on a course of that magnitude where the design was as much a part of the enjoyment of the experience as Gamble Sands was for me.
That's a great way to put it. There's a, we just did a newsletter, digital magazine for Gamble Sands, and I talked with Blake Froling, the general manager, who's basically watched Scarecrow grow outside his window. You know, the window to his office looks straight across and over the golf course. And as we were kind of talking about this for this story that we wrote about his impressions, the one thing he said from like what you're talking about is, you know, it's a buzzword in the golf industry and golf architecture to talk about having holes that are halves, you know, four holes that are par four and a half is kind of a big buzzy thing. But I think, and you and I play golf all over the world, obviously, you know, we've been to Scotland, we've been, you know, up to the Cabot property, you know, but I think at Gamble more than anywhere, you run into that. At Gamble Sands, on the Gamble Sands course specifically, they're able to do that with a lot of holes. There are a lot of chances to make birdies. There are a lot of chances to make eagle. Joe will tell you, we'll shout out Joe's friend, Eric Arnold, who's coming back with us in September. The guy eagled the 18th, and he will not stop talking about it.
Every
you know,
day
he just,
I play with
it doesn't.
Going every day.
God. We've got a text thread that he wants to name the hole after himself. It's, you know, but you get that. And so Blake was pointing out that even more so now on Scarecrow, you have that where you play the 10th, and I'm going to talk about the 10th hole a little bit, but you're coming down, and it's a long par four down this hill, and you're like, oh man, if I can make four here, I'm going to be lucky to make par. But then a couple holes later, you've got a par five, and you're like, oh, if I can make four here, I've made birdie, and it's very doable, you know, to make a four there. And so I think these four and a half holes are really what makes golf design special. Because so often, and this is another thing Blake said, you know, it's like, well, here's a 192-yard par three, and, you know, here's a 595-yard par five, and here's a 440-yard par four, and that's just, you know, kind of how most golf is. And in this case, you're looking at holes almost in sequences. You know, if I can get through these three holes in X score, or, you know, if I can get across the front nine without – you know, making double, you know, those kinds of things where you anticipate and you think differently. And because of that, and David McClay-Kidd has always said this, that's kind of freeing in a way, because then you're playing fun golf. You're playing golf that's about hitting great shots and interesting shots. And that in itself opens up your mind and lets you play looser and just have a lot more fun. And when you're having more fun, you're generally playing better golf as well and scoring better. So, you know, I think it's an interesting point across the board. Joe, you got to see Scarecrow. We should say, so Joe and I took six other guys in August, and we went to play Gamble Sands primarily. We did a lot of other stuff, and there's a podcast somewhere, I'm pretty sure, that we talked about most of this. But what I found interesting, Joe, and this still comes up on our text thread as we're talking about going back, because most of these guys didn't think they would ever come back. In fact, Chris Anderson in this group declined the tour when we were there in August, because his mindset, which I did not understand at the time, but I do now, was he said, why would I want to go take a tour of a golf course I'm never going to get to come play? And I thought, what an interesting – he didn't say that to us at the time, but he's said it since. And I thought, what an interesting thought. Well, now he does get to come back. So he's probably a little bit regretting not taking the tour. But, you know, I think all these guys on this trip, almost to a man, we played Chambers Bay the day before. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. Probably the best day I've ever had at Chambers Bay, and I played it a few times. But almost all of these guys said, if I was coming back and I had to do one or the other, I'm going back to Gamble Sands, which I think is just a testament not only to Gamble Sands, but very interesting for your guys who are all kind of all a mix of players. We had better players. You mentioned your nephew Danny, who's a really good player. And then guys who are just kind of like us on this call, you know, who are kind of your average golfers, and they all just absolutely fell in love with it.
The word was fun. That's one everybody used was fun. You know, Chambers was iconic. They used that one, but it was just enjoyable to stand up there in the views and just hit it. You know, it's just a fun course. And I have two quick stories. The Jared, you probably remember this. Jared and I played with my son and my nephew the one day, but there's eight of us, so we were playing 8-man skins. Now, I had the greatest four-hole stretch in my life where I made four straight birdies on four great approach shots, and I didn't win a damn skin on any of them because Darren like chips in off the fringe on one. My son David hit like a 30-foot putt. Danny was in the bunker with a side hill line, hit the stick and dropped straight down into it, and then Darren had another birdie. So I go 7, 8, 9, 10 with four birdies and don't see a dime out of it, you know? So. But that was just how much fun it is. And, you know, you can birdie anything, you know. And my favorite, and Darren, you'll remember this, the 18th hole with that speed slide on the left for that par 5. And I talked about that to the guys constantly before that. So first time we get up there, Eric Arnold was playing with us, Darren, you, Eric, and I can't who else. But I'm like, here it is, guys. Here's the speed slot. And when in my backswing, Eric goes, I guarantee he's going to be in the trap on the right. And don't I fade it right into the darn trap and it plugs right there? So I get zero roll out of my speed slot.
That's awesome, too. Yeah. And Joe's nickname in that thread is now speed slot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like there's so much of that kind of thing, you know, throughout the everybody I've met who gets out there and plays it. But Joe, so talk about, because we had played for a couple rounds. Well, you've been there before, but everybody had played a couple rounds, and then we went over across the road to Scarecrow and drove around. It was growing in, basically. So there, you know, you could really get a sense of what it was going to look like, you know, once it was playable, but talk about the difference, because there is a notable difference in terrain between this area on Scarecrow that's a little bit more elevated, you know, and a little steeper, as opposed to Gamble Sands, which is relatively flat when you think about it, even though it's got some barrancas that go through it and that type of thing. But Scarecrow is the terrain is probably, I guess, more dramatic might be the better word.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. And, you know, it just amazes me that I guess it's a God-given gift, but how does somebody like David look at land and just vision it, you know, and put it in their mind that this could be this hole, this could be this hole. And that just blows my mind how you can look at just trash land that has, you know, nothing on it and just, you know, move something here, move something there. And the coolest thing of when we were getting the tour was they were explaining to us too, like, this was originally supposed to be hole number 6, but now it's hole 12 and stuff like they're like moving. It's like a process that they keep going through and just moving and changing as it goes, which it just amazes me how they do that.
And you say trash land in that you mean like there's scrub brush on it. And all
yeah,
that
right. Exactly.
Because
yeah.
The land itself is fantastic when it comes to golf and views, you know, views of the river. In fact, more views on Scarecrow. You see the river way more on Scarecrow than you did on the Gamble Sands course. But I think what you're saying is interesting that it was this incredible process of things moving. And one thing I found out in working with the team there and you know, researching and all that type of thing. And David McClay Kidd has said this in a few, interviews and things, but where Scarecrow is originally where they wanted to build the first course, but there were some, some issues with like a power line and some other things that they couldn't move at the time. And so they pivoted and went over and built the Gamble Sands course where it ended up, which was fantastic and obviously wildly successful. And the golf course is, you know, a top 100 golf course. So, you know, these things kind of take their time, but you wonder if the power lines hadn't been there and they could have started on that side of the property a little bit higher, you know, what would the trajectory of the resort, you know, have become, you know, if things were done in a different order, which I always find interesting. Who did I lose here?
Yeah.
Mitchell, you've seen some pictures now.
Yeah.
You've seen some video.
Yeah.
Is there something about Scarecrow that, like, you think, wow, that's a piece I really want to experience? Or is it more just the fact that your faith in David and of course, Nick Sean, who's been on the podcast with us in the past, really played the lead design role in this? You know, is it just your faith in them that you know it's going to be great because it's those guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure 100%. What this is, the people that we respect in the game, and David is, you know, top of the list, along with Mike Stranz, maybe the two of them to me. I'll go anywhere. I'll play a course I'd never heard of, go to a place I've never heard of, if it has their name on it. So to me, the added benefit of having been to Gamble, having played the Gamble Sands course, having kind of looked out at land and having a general idea of where Scarecrow is and where Quicksands, that's more, I mean, I've seen the video, like you said, I've seen photography, but Joe put it the best way. You can imagine it, but it's always, you know, 100 times better than anything that you could see. It, of course, looks great. It looks interesting. But the only way I can put it is I would entrust David and Nick with my game and the enjoyment of the game. End of story.
Yeah, Mitch makes a good point.
That's really what makes me want to get back out there, not just to play Gamble Sands again, which obviously I'd love to do.
Yeah, Mitch, that's a great point because, you know, I'm not as big of a golf architecture fan as you guys are, but I've learned a lot by going on trips with you guys and stuff. But, you know, I knew nothing about Mike Stranz, and I played Tobacco Road. I said, this is fantastic. And I'm like, I got to go play his other courses. So I go to True Blue, I go to Cardonia. Same thing with this one. I play Gamble Sands. I go, oh, my gosh, Dave McClay Kidd, what is this? And you go play that. It's really cool how their style stays the same, you know, in addition to the different kinds of land they get or topography or anything. You're right. You trust it, right? So I would go to any course that he's done also, obviously. I love his style.
And that was a huge question in the design of this and kind of why David and Nick kind of created this kind of internal competition that they did, which is a hilarious story when David starts talking about it, that basically he said, okay, Nick, you run with the ball. I'll be the editor in this situation. And you try to top Gamble Sands with Scarecrow. I don't think you're going to do it. I don't think you can do it. Good luck. But I'm going to help you in any way I can. And so it became this competition between the two of them of what, you know, how do we make these different? And the terrain, like I said, is certainly different. But at the same time, this, what they refer to as the DNA, which is what Joe's talking about, that if you go to any Mike Stranz course, there's DNA. If you go to any David McClay Kidd course, there's DNA. It feels like a David McClay Kidd golf course. And so they wanted that overlapping DNA on both golf courses because they wanted people to know this was theirs. And all the things that people love about their golf courses live not only in Gamble Sands, but now live in Scarecrow. But they also, it couldn't just be Gamble Sands too. There has to be things that are special about it. And there were pieces I don't think we got to on the tour, Joe. I think they were in construction on the holes out on the point. So like you guys never got to go like stand on the tee box of the par 3 11th, which is, you know, probably the, you know, maybe the single most dramatic point anywhere on the property to build a golf hole.
But doesn't that seem difficult to keep your style, but you don't want to repeat it, right? Like, what's, you played them both. What's so different about both? You know, I'm sure there's similarities, but there has to be differences, right?
Yeah, I think what really Nick was able to do, and you got to remember, Nick is a better player. And so he wanted to bring, you know, something. So the width, even though it's the terrain is a little more steep and a little more demanding in some ways, they still managed to put a ton of width out in the fairway. So you can still drive the ball wherever you want to, just like you can on Gable Sands course. But the strategy then that goes into that of hitting, you know, not, you know, for lack of a better word, Joe, hitting speed slots, hitting the right, playing over certain hills, doing those types of things. And then they built some extreme elements in just because that's what the terrain gave them that the other terrain didn't have. I think it's the 14th. Basically, you play up, you know, it feels like a fairly level par four from the tee box, but then it goes over a rise and goes straight down like a ski slope. So it, Mitch, you can relate to this. Well, Joe can too. Joe, have you been Joe go to Cabot with us?
No.
I guess he hasn't. So the 17th at Cabot Cliffs, Mitch, which you know well, where we hit over the top and then the ball will roll all the way down to the green. Mm-hmm. The 14th has that kind of a feel. It's a longer, more demanding hole on Scarecrow. But it still has that feel that once you get over that rise, you feel like, you know, it's just a roller coaster ride all the way down to the green. And your second shot that you're hitting from up on top, if you don't get all the way over it, you know, you can play runners that will run forever or try to fly it in or, you know, try to avoid. There's a couple bunkers to get in your way. And so I think what Nick did a lot on Scarecrow is he tried to create some more obstacles. But usually they're not all bunkers. Sometimes they're just fun mounds and things like that. Whereas I feel like on Gamble Sands course, in most cases, I can hit a runner into any green. On Scarecrow, I could hit, if I have to hit a runner in some spots, I might be hitting a blind runner. I might be hitting, you know, over hills or whatever. And so, you know, that's where it really becomes playful in a way. And I think the better player will really see the strategy there as well. Not to say that there's not a ton of strategy on Gamble Sands course, because there is, mm-hmm. in terms of figuring out how to play it. But it's just, it really is kind of a different animal when you're out there. And I think that's the fun part of watching these two things come to life. And I think, Joe, now when you guys go back, you know, to hear, it's all going to be about the conversation, which is better. Like if you're coming back and you can only play one, which would it be? That's the conversations that everybody at Gamble Sands and the ownership group and the team, we're excited to hear. And where David and Nick are excited to hear, you know, kind of how people debate which one they like more. Yeah. In the same way we do it at the other places, you know, at Gamble and Sand Valley and Cabot and all those places.
That's what, like Mitch was talking about, the excitement of it. I'm excited because my brother's coming for the first time, you know, for him to see both. And like you said, there's, what, five returning that were with us in August. So to see what they really, you know, what they say, you know, which one they're going to like better. Because I told him, I golfed a couple yesterday. I told him, Darren says you guys are going to like Scarecrow more than Gamble. And I'm like, okay, we'll see about that, you know. So I'm excited to see.
Yeah, they were skeptical.
Yeah, it's cool to see how – and check this out, Mitch. Four rounds at Scarecrow, two at Gamble in 3 days. Take that, buddy.
I would like to.
That's what we're doing.
But, you know, Darren gets to go, and Chris and I will be – I think we're going to be playing, like, Pop Stroke somewhere. Isn't that right?
Pop Stroke would be fine.
Which would be great. I'd love to do that.
You'll just be out in the barn. We need to get the Gamble Sam's courses on your.
I actually, it's funny you say that because based on what you've told me, I am efforting to move to my third launch monitor for the barn.
Right.
And one of the reasons, well, the actual monitor itself, I'm going to for a different reason, but the connecting software, of which I have, from what the research says, two different choices. I probably will be going to GS Pro, which you said is indeed incorporating. Or was that Tobacco Road?
Tobacco Road is on GS Pro. I'm not sure what Gamble Sands is on, but I need to find out because it's on something.
Get it on GS Pro.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm putting in my request right now.
Well, Darren, you've been up there real quick. How are the new lodgings coming next to the Scarecrow? Because that's and those are just overlooking one of the holes, right? I mean, they were in construction. We were there.
Yeah, exactly. So when you come in now to the property, that kind of reveal that I was talking about, where you see quicksands on one side and Scarecrow on the other, we're building the Golf View rooms. And so 40 king room, double king rooms. And those will look out straight over the early holes of Scarecrow. Mm. So, and just, you know, the golf course spreading out beyond. So that would be cool. And they're building a putting course up there as well. That is kind of beginning to take shape. That'll be fun to talk about once they've kind of settled on everything about it. So, you know, piece of it is going to be super cool.
You've played with Roddy and Eric. How close are these buildings to the fairways? Are they reachable for those two guys or what?
I don't think you're going to be able to get a ball up to the Golf View rooms. I hope. I will say this. Here's a super cool thing too, I think, about, and I think this sets the tone. We're talking about Scarecrow being different. The opening hole is blind at Scarecrow, and it's kind of blind on Gamble Sands, and that you hit it down there and you don't see the green until you get down in the fairway. But on Scarecrow, it is, you just hit it over this mound in front, and then you go for the reveal. Go see this super cool first opening green and see where your ball is. It's fairly, it's almost reachable for some people. So then it all becomes about short game. But I mean, those first few holes, which are in the tightest terrain of the entire course at Scarecrow, are really super fun. A lot of holes get laid out, that Nick has done, get laid out closer to the edges of the Barrancas and the washes and that type of thing. So, you know, I think that will be a lot of fun. And that might be the difference between whether people like it more or don't like it more.
Are you going to lose more balls there than you do at Gamble? Because you
know, I don't know that you're going to lose golf balls, but you will be hitting shots from down there that will be, you know, if you're missing grass, you're going to have some interesting shots out of the washes and sandy and rock areas.
Like 11 at Tobacco.
yeah, exactly. Well, nothing's quite like that, but although I guess that bunker that goes along the 17th on Gamble Sands is not unlike that's, the 11th yeah, Tobacco Road, true, to be honest.
Or even 5, or even down the Valley of 5, right, on Gamble, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, 5, yeah, 5's probably the best comparison. I've never really thought about that, but that's a good point. So, yeah, no, I think there will be a lot. It will be interesting, especially like you mentioned, I'd forgotten the fact that of the 8 guys, you being one of them, that 3 of the guys weren't there with us the first time. So they're seeing they'll see all of this new. Mm-hmm. And the other guys will all be seeing just the, you know, their piece of it, you know, the new pieces. So I think that'll be fun. So we're doing that in September. Like you said, we're playing a lot of golf over. There's 12 of us actually. I'm bringing some guys from Porterville as well. And it should be, I think, interesting. And I think what was funny, and this is another testament to the place, Joe, is that you and I started talking about this and said, well, you know, would those guys want to go back? Because obviously it costs some money. You've got to fly in. As we mentioned, Spokane's the best place to fly in. When we did the trip before, we all flew into Seattle, which is a little bit longer trip. But you and I were talking about it. We're like, I wonder if these guys would want to go, you know, again. And so we kind of put together an itinerary and we threw it out there on the group chat. And I said, okay, you plus seven guys, see if you can get seven guys. And I think within 2 days, we had seven guys, and most of those guys have already sent me their money.
Yeah.
So it's like, like we're, you know.
Who hasn't sent you money?
Oh, yeah. Well, I hate to say it on the podcast because I don't want to embarrass them, but anybody on the trip who has the last name Sass has not paid for the trip yet. Everybody else has paid their deposit or the full price, and I'm still waiting on your check yet.
And my brothers.
And your brother. So anyway, I think that's a testament to this, that not only did those guys say, yeah, let's do it, but they knew how far in advance we had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because Scarecrow opens August 1st. August, September are almost completely sold out now, you know. And in fact, the booking has gone so well for everything post the opening that Gamble Sands is going to open up the 2026 bookings on March 28th of this year, which is the day the resort opens for 2025. Wow. So we're going to open up 2026 an entire year ahead of time.
Amazing.
And that's because, you know, just people who are booking these things and all these big properties, but us specifically as well, are just, you know, they want that demand is there, that expectation, the joy of expectation, as you said. Mitch is there, you know.
Hey, so, and Mitch, like Darren said, he quickly called me and said, "Hey, what do you think about bringing four up here? Join four of my guys." And I said, "Let me poke around," and I really didn't do that much. You know, I talked to some of the guys who've been on the trip before and everything, and then I called him. I said, "Hey, I have eight," and now I feel bad even because there's probably three or four or more I can get that I didn't ask. You know, and then when they're going to find out about it. Like, how come I didn't get asked? You know, it's another.
Well, that, it just means that your friends list got shorter.
Well, that's true.
they won't talk to you again after this.
And it's number 12 for trip of a lifetime. That's for sure. So
what's funny too about that, Joe, is I got a call. I got a text last night from Mike Smee, who's going on the trip with us. And he's like, "Hey, I got a buddy I'd really like to bring on that Gamble Sands trip." And I'm like, man, if we start adding one guy at a time, we might be 16 people pretty quick.
Yeah.
So who knows, you know, it's, it will be interesting to see when it all, you know, comes together, because I think everybody will have a blast. And certainly, like I said, the booking ahead at this point for everybody is just, you know, that's the way the industry is. Well, let me ask you guys a couple of questions. We had a couple of questions on Twitter. I threw this out yesterday. I said we're doing the pod. Justin, our friend Justin on Twitter asked, what about the wind directions, which I think is interesting. I don't necessarily think about the wind a lot when I'm on the Gamble Sands course. I mean, it affects things, but I think the wind, because Scarecrow is higher, you know, elevation wise and a little bit more exposed, the wind comes into play more. And when I was there in October with our friend Jason Deegan, who's a friend of the podcast, we played on back-to-back days, and it just so happened that the wind direction was the opposite the second day. And so like the par 4 10th, which I talked about, is this great tumbling long par 4 that goes down the hill. It was great when there was downwind the first day, but the second day with the wind coming back at you, which also means it's coming back at you on the par three, basically coming off the river, it was almost unreachable for a guy like me who's not a particularly long hitter. So all of a sudden that hole then becomes, you know, closer to a five than a four in this theory of par four and a half. And then the 14th, like I mentioned, it has the big giant ski slope. The wind was coming in on that on the second day. And the first day, almost everybody hit it over the ridge. you know, and had a good look downhill. On the second day, you know, with the wind coming back at you, all of a sudden now you're hitting a blind shot over this ridge that's much farther. And so I think the wind might play much more of a factor on Scarecrow than it does on Gamble Sand. So that would be something that would be interesting for us to watch as we play, you know, multiple days and see if we catch multiple weather patterns. I thought that was kind of an interesting point. Tony Deer, obviously another guy from the podcast, asked this question, and I'll throw this out to you guys about the Gamble Sands course. He wanted to know from me what I believe is the best green at Gamble Sands, which I thought was kind of an interesting question. I don't know. You guys have a favorite?
I like all of them, but I'm always drawn to number two.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it gives you an idea, apart from the spectacular scenery of it, it gives you an idea of the kinds of shots that may be coming and, you know, the kind of challenge of it and the thinking that's involved in that hole. I think it's an unbelievable green. I really do.
It's an amazing hole as well. And I think that's the thing. Tony said green specifically. I don't think he means what's the best hole, you know, but what's the best green. And I think that green is cool because it's got that bowl in the front that allows you when you try to drive it to have a putt. But when they put the flag in the back of that green, it's a whole different animal.
That's exactly what I was going to say. The pin placement determines if you're going for a two or a four. You know, that's holy on that hole. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the question I had is I started to think about this, and I'm going to, when I'm out there in April, I'm going to really think about it a lot more of, okay, what is the best green? But I wonder how much we consider the surrounds as part of the green, because to me, my two favorite greens in quotes, I guess, on the Gamble Sands course are probably 9 and 14. And it's because both of them have those big backdrops, you know, that you can play shots off of the back and have them come back down. And obviously that's a thing kid does everywhere, it feels like. But I just really like that if we consider the greens to be an extension, I mean, the surrounds to be an extension of the green, you know, loosely based, that those would probably be two of my favorites.
Yeah, but
Joe,
with David's design, I don't think you can separate the surrounds from the green.
Right. I agree. That's the case on Scarecrow too. Nick and them did a great job. There's a lot of the greens are smaller on Scarecrow, but the surrounds are still what you expect, so that you get, you can play the ball off these different contours and try to really do interesting things to try to get the ball close to the hole.
Right.
So, Joe, do you got a favorite?
What about 18? What about 18? If the pin's on the right, you hit it on the left, it'll trap and just let it drain down there. You know, or if it's in the back, you got to go over the trap, which brings the trap in play. You know, depending on where the pin placement is, that trap's in play or it couldn't be in play, you know?
Yeah. You play 18 with so many angles.
Yeah.
That's what I think is really, really cool about it, is that, you know, you could have a fairly long putt for your eagle, or you could, hit it in that back bunker and then, you know, be just trying to save yourself a bogey or even worse in some ways. So, all right. One more question. Let's see here. What was it? Eric Hart wants to know, again, I'm just asking questions from people who we know and love. Eric wants to know which holes are the most similar between Gamble Sands and Scarecrow. And I don't know that I told him this. I said, I don't have an answer to that yet, but now when I'm there, I'm going to think about it that way because I'm kind of curious. I remember Nick mentioned one of the holes on Scarecrow feels kind of like a mirror of the par 3/6 on Gamble Sands in terms of, you know, how we always talk about you can hit it out on the right as far as you want on that par 3 and it will trundle down the hill. You may not have a close putt or anything, but you can get it on the green that way. There's one of the holes out on Scarecrow, and I can't remember where exactly it is. So I'm going to have to get back to everybody on what holes I think feel the most similar. But I remember from playing in October, I don't know that any are that similar, other than just the fact that they all feel like David, you know, David and Nick built them. So, and Nick didn't work on the original golf course. So that was another thing that was kind of cool about this, for him to bring kind of a different perspective, you know, to this new piece of property. So, what else we got, Mitch? You got anything else that you can think of that people need to know about Gamble Sands?
Go.
I'm sure you're excited now. We got to find a way to get you there.
Yeah, I will get there. I will get there sometime before Joe's big trip in September. I'm going to get there. I might just show up there one day over the summer. Literally. I may hike there. I may hitchhike there.
Well, as I told you, I'm going to be there for a week this week in April with Brian. I'll be there for a week in June. I'll be there 3 weeks in July.
Well, I'm definitely getting there in June or July. So
yeah, yeah. I'm going back with Joe.
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to get back because, you know, I'm kind of the ancient mariner here. And as life goes on, there's less of these trips coming to me, but that's one place that I definitely want to get back to. So
yeah. Here's something too. I didn't think of, you flying to Spokane, it's a shorter drive to Gamble than going to Bandon, than going to Sand Valley, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Doing that. Yep. So, I mean, and they're, and you're going to have two putting courses. You're going to have a par three course. You're going to have 36 holes. I mean, that's getting comparable to Sand Valley and Bandon, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not the number of courses, but it's, I mean, there's, it's like Darren said, there's plenty to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, the two restaurants makes a big difference. I also think it's, you know, it's interesting. Everything you can do there, because that putting green is open so late at night, you know, people are out there with glow balls and doing all their things. The other thing that people don't recognize with Gamble Sands, because it's in the quote Pacific Northwest, but you know, the Columbia River Gorge is really kind of high desert. And so the weather is far more stable. Mm-hmm. Like people hear Pacific Northwest and they think rain and, you know, fog on the coast and all the things you have to deal with, the elements you have to deal with at Bandon, you know, from May through or April through early October, you don't have to deal with that stuff nearly as much. It's a much more stable environment. It can get warm in the summer, obviously, because it's high desert. But, you know, most people, like in our group, you know, you guys will be killing for the fact of what it, how it feels, because it'll probably still be super hot in Texas when you guys come to Gamble Sands in September.
Right.
So, you know, it's those are all pieces of this puzzle that I think most, you know, most people out there, you know, we're still educating a lot of people about what Gamble Sands is and where it is and how you get there. So, you know, hopefully more people find it, and certainly you shouldn't be able to shake a stick on the internet without seeing something about it this summer. Matt Janella has an entire series that's coming out. All the major magazines will have things about Gamble Sands. It's Troon property, so all the Troon marketing engine is behind it. It's you're going to hear a lot about Scarecrow. Plus, you know, David McClay Kidd is not a man who stays quiet either. So he tends to talk about his projects quite a bit, as he should. And so I think people will hear a lot. But if you listen to this and you've stuck with us this long, you've got questions, don't hesitate to jump on and, you know, send us questions. I'm the guy behind the Gamble Sands accounts on social. But obviously, as Mitch said at the top of the broadcast, you can, we call it a broadcast? No. You can contact us on the socials, and I will answer any questions that anybody has.
That's perfect, and obviously a great idea. Like you said, the expectation of all this happening over the summer will be felt exponentially as these months roll by now. So I can't think of anybody who really loves the game, who has the ability to travel, who wouldn't want to get up to Gamble Sands and experience it the way we have and enjoy it the way we have. A lot more chance to do that now. We're grateful for that. Thanks for being with us, Joe. Thanks for being with us, Chris. And Darren, what can I say?
Yes. It's always fun.
Thanks for being with us, man. And thanks for all you do. And I couldn't be happier that, you know, the projects, I've told you this before, the projects that you're locked in on now between Tobacco Road and Gamble Sands and working with Brian and the Golf Package Pros, that's a life. That's working with people that you care about, who are passionate, something, a game you love. I don't know of a better life than that, my man.
And so I've been incredibly fortunate now to be able to just work on things that I really enjoy and that are fun. And so, you know, that's what it's all about at this point.
All right.
As we get older.
Are we getting older? All right. Never mind. That was a rhetorical question. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope your passion has been stirred for Gamble Sands. The Gebbers family out there in Washington had a dream that nobody really saw until David McClay Kidd came along. And now, years later, it has turned into the most wonderful spot. So we hope you have a dream too. Let it come up, let it prosper, and then go chase it. Take it away, Tom Petty. We'll talk to you soon.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.